Alice Zaslavsky is with us. She's the creator of Phenomenon. You can find her on SockMed as Alice in Frames. How are you going, Alice?
Very well, thank you. SockMed? Did you just make that up, Brett?
No, I saw it written down. I thought, what's that? And then I went, oh. Sugar tax, good idea?
Yeah. Look, I think so. I think every country that's introduced a sugar tax has seen a reduction in the sweet foods that are consumed.
Oh, you're saying the evidence shows that it works?
Yes. Oh. I know, right? Research. Amazing.
On research, that ad that we had a chat to the Dental Association about with the shocking teeth on the good-looking teens, research suggests that works?
Well, I think especially for teens. So for talking to kids about long-term health benefits is like trying to talk to them about superannuation. Yeah, it doesn't work. But if you talk to them about functional benefits or immediate kind of effects, you'll find a lot more of a kind of a tapping into that. So, you know, they are image conscious, especially that 14 to 18 age group. And they're the ones that have the pocket money to buy the soft drinks. So I reckon hopefully we'll see some results.
Were you given soft drinks as a kid?
I think I'm trying to remember. Probably more fruit juice than soft drink.
Yeah, we had a bit of fruit juice.
Yeah, but
we were never bought fizzy drinks.
No, but
only grandparents did that.
But at school, we had a can machine, and kids could just go nuts. That was like a thing.
Yeah, well, they're everywhere now. They're absolutely everywhere. Just on New Year's resolutions for your food, JP's got this. I'm going to make an effort to eat more fish, Raf. Not cheap though. Maybe need to get a fishing rod. Lamb, love it. Too dear. Steak, I wish. Slow cooked pork. Or chicken salads. Yep. And Deb in Port Melbourne, wishing me a welcome back. Thank you, Deb. Welcome back to you, because I haven't read out one of your texts this year. My cooking goal this year is to advance the skills of my 12-year-old daughter. She's an avid cook and should progress to making dinner. Nice.
Yay.
Have you got any goals?
I've always got goals, Rav. And my goals this year, one of them is a pretty simple one. It's to bake more. And that's because I'm not a recipe follower. So
you're not a recipe follower?
No way. I'm a recipe writer, not a recipe follower. I'm like a bit of this, bit of that.
Lots of cookbooks.
Heaps of cookbooks. I look at the pictures and then I'm inspired. I think, oh, those two things go together really well. I'm going to see what I can do with that. But this year I'm going to actually follow those recipes.
Any suggestions on – I think I get the sense there's a group of people who listen – and they're pretty good in the kitchen and they're pretty good in the shopping, pretty good in the finding a place for the recipes. And then there's another group of people who just – too hard.
Mm.
So let's speak to those who are perhaps less involved in the preparation of what they consume. What's a good, simple, new thing to do for the new year in relation to making your own food?
Great. I like that question. Well, I think maybe assigning a couple of nights a week where you definitely cook. That's kind of good because I think what tends to happen is you get home and you're tired and you just think, oh, you know what, too hard basket, I'm just going to order in. Whereas I think if you know that Tuesdays and Thursdays you cook at home, it kind of means that you're going to make better choices those nights. And better yet, why don't you plan ahead? So it might be something that you do on a Saturday or Sunday. You head to the market or to your local greengrocer and you pick up some ingredients and you've already got a list in mind because you've got a dish in mind. And you don't need to invest in a cookbook. You know, we live in the information age. So seek out if you've got favorite ingredients or if you know that something is in season, like for example, at the moment, tomatoes and basil. So if you pop those into the search engine and see what comes up, you know, get cooking.
Why a knife? Why did you? I'm interested in that as one of your first steps. Why a knife?
Well, I think that a lot of the knife skills that people are uncomfortable with, it really comes down to the fact that their knife is blunt or that they're not using the right kind of knife. So if you've got one good chef's knife, what tends to happen is that suddenly you've got this one tool that you just love using and you'll tend to cook more.
Don't buy a knife from a supermarket. Is that a good
look? What will tend to happen?
They're not very. They don't keep their edge.
They're cheaper. Yeah, the cheaper the knife, the less time it'll take.
This is completely unscientific. However, if you buy a knife at a big brand supermarket, they're likely to be rubbish. If you buy a knife at your local South Asian grocer, Chinese grocer, Japanese supermarket, the cheap ones. They're likely to be good. I don't know. Is that just my experience?
Well, I mean, they're the ones that tend to get used, you know, to chop up big wombox and big bunches of herbs. So, yeah, I think it comes down to manufacture and to purpose.
Always the Chinese supermarkets have the really cheap but really good, last forever.
Why not?
Sharp knife.
Give it a go.
That's my experience. Hawthorne, Hawthorne Henry has called. What did you want to say, Henry?
Hello, Raph. I was just contacting you Well, talking about cheap knives to start with, I bought a cleaver from a big brand supermarket 20 years ago.
Yes.
For about $5, and I still use it.
Still going strong? Great.
Still going strong. But I bought a new stove in December because my old stove is on its last legs. It's Cactus. I tried to make some pavlovas pre-Christmas for a Christmas lunch and turned them all brown and just weren't pleasant at all. So I thought, that's it, I've had enough. Going to buy a new stove. Went out, bought an electric stove with an induction cooktop. Thought, well, this is it. I'm going to be the next best chef in the world. And I'm from hospitality, so I'm very inspired to cook.
Can I stop you there? Can I stop you there, Henry?
Yeah.
You're from hospitality. You bought a new oven. That I get. But that also indicates to me, when was the last time you bought a stove slash oven? Like, never?
No, I bought one once when I renovated a kitchen about 10 years ago. Yeah.
But you're in hospitality.
Yes.
A plumber with leaky pipes, Raph.
Totally, isn't it? Yeah, it's the doctor.
Exactly,
yeah.
I suppose the reason that I don't go out buying new stoves left, right and centre is that I work in hospitality. It's long hours.
Yes.
And, you know, we just when we get home, it's all about
grilled cheese.
Picking the shoes off, grilled burgers, you know, anything that's easy. Now I decided to buy this stove, got it in, phoned the plumber the gas plumber and the electrician to come out and have a look at it.
And
the electrician soon said, we've got to rewire the whole house.
Yeah, you need the three-phase power. You bought a good one, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, no, the electricity is the original electricity from when it was built back in the 1940s, so it's nearly 100 years old, $15,000.
Oh, you bought a really expensive one.
No. That's the rewiring.
So $15,000 worth of rewiring just to plug in this new stove.
Yeah, and I only paid $1,200 for the stove because it was the next display one. Those Hawthorne houses, yeah.
Oh, so, that's a killer, Henry. That's an absolute killer. Look, I'm sorry, Henry, but look, good luck with it.
Thanks.
All the best, Henry.
Wow, See, that I get it. Like, if you're a plumber or an electrician, that's why we're scared to call. That's why we're scared to call. Because you just kind of never know. And Deb from Port Melbourne, who I mentioned before on the text, who wants her 12-year-old to improve her culinary skills. We've got her on the phone. Deb, what's your first step? How do you improve the culinary skills of a 12-year-old?
Hey, Raf. Well, look, she's pretty good already. She's a pretty keen cook already. But I think it's about her choosing recipes, which she's been doing for a while, but we've been doing a lot of desserts and crepes and things like that. But it's about her selecting recipes that she feels confident to cook and then just introducing the skills as we go along.
And these tweens, Deb, really love YouTube as a resource for videos. You know, they're very video focused. So that might be another way that you can encourage her to branch out and try sort of more complicated things, is to watch someone else do them.
Yeah, great idea. I think we've got quite a few magazines that we also refer to, and often those magazines have little helpful clips as well. So really good resources. But I think also this ties into what we're talking about with dental health too, with kids. If they are interested in cooking, they're not going to be perhaps so keen on those sugary things.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that, Deb. I don't know. I reckon there's a fair few keen teenage cooks who like guzzling fizzy stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I think my kids have been brought up with that philosophy, though, of growing their own food and choosing recipes, and so they're not fast food kids.
Good for you, Deb. Good luck teaching the 12-year-old as well. I find it hard cooking off YouTube, but that's just me.
But, you know, it's actually really interesting. The tastes and the palates are changing, and those soft drink companies that were mentioned before that are reformulating to make their soft drinks less sweet, that's actually not just because of the sugar tax, it's also because our palates require less sweetness. Yes, absolutely. So I think that's a really
exciting... we're all being encouraged to eat less sugar, or why are our palates changing?
I think that it's slowly but surely, yes, we are. We're being encouraged to eat less sugar. We're more aware of it so if you compare how sweet soft drinks were in the 80s to now, there's actually less teaspoons of sugar per.
Is there?
Yeah. But that goes across the board.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So companies are reformulating everything, you know, snack foods, drinks, and other things. Yeah, it is a good thing. But, you know, the best thing we can do, as Deb said, is just to cook at home.
Alison Frames is with us for Foodie Tuesday. She comes in regularly. We talk about food every Tuesday at about 4:30. Just thinking about things you can do differently with food this year. Now, I don't know if you're aiming to go vegetarian. There's one text here. My son starts at the Dharma School in Daylesford, so vegetarian-only lunches. Well, it's probably good from too much processed meat, you know, all those stories. So that's probably a good thing. Lou in Gisborne's got a different approach. She's been forced into changes. I wonder if he's being serious. My barbecue's run out of gas, so we're having steak tartare with salad and fries. Yeah, sure. I don't believe you. But it's funny. I also want to know what you're going to do. What are you going to do differently this year with your food? 1300 222 774. Now, Alice, I'm interested. Another one of your list of suggestions for New Year's resolutions around food is to style it up.
Mm.
So a lot of people would see that and go, what? I don't even know how.
Well, we eat with our eyes first and foremost, and I think that the you know, a change is as good as a holiday. So if you're cooking the same sort of stuff but you're putting it on different plates, suddenly it feels like something new.
And, or a garnish.
Yeah, or a garnish. You know, yeah. Something new. So you don't have to go out and splash out on something new. You can swap with a friend, or you can head to the local op shop and, you know, grab a platter from the 70s, very retro, very in, and that is enough for you to feel like you're moving forward, I think, and it might encourage you to try some new things on that platter as well.
One of the things I do to try and jazz it up, a tiny bit extra labour, but if you buy nice meat for the barbie, if you slice it into strips for people they eat it, there's something, I think people feel, I don't know, there's something really nice.
And
you feel cared for if it's been sliced into good-looking thin slices.
It's chef-y. And you know what you need to make sure that you slice that steak well, Raph?
Yeah.
A good knife.
A good knife. Well, I'm both ways on good knives, because I actually received for a birthday present from my parents quite a few years ago, it must have been 4 or 5 years ago, a really good high-quality brand name sharp knife. Mm-hmm. But it's quite hard to sharpen.
Oh, yeah.
Then we received a knife because someone received someone else's grandparents' kitchen, basically. Mm-hmm. And in amongst all this delightful crockery was just an old, obviously, the carving knife. It's got a much easier edge to sharpen. So the knife that someone spent money on, my parents, doesn't get nearly as much use as the one that just got re-gifted to us.
Yeah, don't bother buying a knife sharpener. Get your knives professionally sharpened would be my recommendation.
Professionally sharpened, but that costs money.
Once a year, that is as good as getting
new knives.
That's
why you go to the cheap Asian supermarket knife.
Yeah, look, why not? But we're all looking at reducing waste. So if you get, you know, a knife that you know that you're going to get rid of, you're better off investing in one. And I'm not talking about, you know, hundreds of dollars. A $70 sort of Swiss knife with single flat steel will do you well.
Yeah, okay. Because the older knife's softer, easier to sharpen myself. Anyway. Naylan, I think it is, in Cape Patterson, responding actually to Deb from Port Melbourne, whose 12-year-old daughter is keen to expand her repertoire. What did you want to say, Naylan?
Hi, Raph. My daughter's 11 and she's just started making dinner for us, which has been really awesome. She's been watching things like your guest there said. She's been watching video recipes online. We're vegan, so she watches there's one called Bosch, B-O-S-H, and one called The Buddhist Chef, and they're really easy, great, simple recipes. She's made puttanesca pasta, she's made quesadillas, she's made red curry noodles, and it's also inspired me to start cooking some more interesting things with her. So rather than just doing the regular meals that we, you know, the fortnightly kind of selection of meals that we have all the time, it's, you know, we made gnocchi the other day, and yeah, it's been really fun. But I think the video resources are great for kids because they can actually watch it, they're really quick, and then they go for it. So it's really great.
Fantastic. No, and thank you. And don't forget, if you've got old cauliflower in the fridge, the easiest thing you can do is type into your search engine, best recipe for cauliflower. Such a resource.
Exactly.
Such a resource.
And what's really interesting is that that generation go to YouTube before they go to Google. Isn't that interesting?
I'm so old-fashioned. I can't cook off a video. I need the words on the screen. Final words of advice, New Year's resolutions around food?
Oh, gosh. Tidy your kitchen. That's what I've been doing.
Tidy.
Tidy. And what I mean by that is get rid of really, really old spices and really, really old pulses and grains, and it'll encourage you to actually see, oh, wow, I've still got this fantastic old honey. I can still use that. You know, it's a new lease on life. And do a cooking class.
Do a cooking class. Great way to end. Alice, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Raph.
Check her out on social media. She's Alison Frames. And check out Phenomenom. It's with M's. Phenomenom. The last two bits there are with M's.